This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, it's the best time of the week. It's R.J. Bell time. I'm a little bit earlier than usual. And R.J., pregame.com, joins us as he does every week. What's going on, my friend?
I was thinking about it. I said, I could take the week off, get home early. Then I thought, wait, we're going to be exposed now to a different audience, because we know in radio, you guys have a lot of people, and this is rare, that listen to the whole show, but oftentimes it's a drive time thing. So people who are driving now know to tune in, 6 o'clock, right? 6:10 typically local?
Yeah, typically, yeah. And this week you're in the 4 o'clock hour, so it's...
Exactly. So now they can look at the podcast or whatever, or get home, eat dinner, and listen to this.
Well, Fezzik and Brad are out today, so we will take a week off from our contest, although...
Let's review the standings.
Yeah, you're in the lead, 5-1. I'm in second at 3-2-1. Fred's at 3-3.
And let's just say the rest are below you.
The rest are below us. Brad and Fezzik are 2-3 and 2-4, respectively.
Thanks for getting that on the record.
Although both of them got coming off a win.
There you go.
Yeah, they dug themselves out of a little bit of a hole.
Here's what I'll say real quick is we are really doing something. Like I enjoy when people say the record, but think about this. Last year, Super Contest Gold, $5,000 to enter, biggest contest in the world. We were tied for first with 2 weeks to go, 67%. Let's just say it wasn't so good from there. 2 weeks, didn't do great. But a lot of it was we were going metagame, which was we were being contrarian to what other people were betting because we wanted to win the thing. There was no second place prize, right? It was $640,000. So it was all or nothing. This year, we're 19-11 in the same contest. 67%. So if you take out the 2 weeks, then I get it's a little arbitrary, but not really. We now have 15 weeks last year and 6 weeks this year. I think that adds a 21. 21 weeks at 67% in front of the world.
That's pretty strong.
It is. It's too strong. Yeah. It's not going to keep up.
Yeah. All right. Well, since we don't have the guys, we'll just kind of go through the games like we used to, old school style, and we'll see if there's anything that jumps out at any of us, have some good discussion on these things. We'll start with Cardinals and Giants, and it feels like everyone in the world is going to be on the Giants here, getting Saquon back, getting Evan Ingram back. I know I'm on the Giants. I actually prefer the over a little bit just because I think you're looking at two really bad defenses and maybe an offense in Arizona that's figuring it out, an offense with the Giants that should be better with the return of some of those guys. What are you seeing with this number, and do you think that I'm being square again looking at the Giants like everyone else?
Here's the thing, though. Isn't there a square side on the other side? Which is, here's an Arizona team with the number one pick. Here's an Arizona team with a new coach. And they're coming in and they're being revolutionary, innovative, college concepts. You don't need to be 6 foot tall. 5'8's fine. And he is 5'8. I stood next to him at the Super Bowl. And I'm 5'10 and a quarter, if you're lucky, the quarter part. And I was towering over him. I'm serious. He is 5'8 if he's anything.
Well, he blocked me on Twitter for talking about his height.
Well, I'm sure he did. He got up on the stool and hit block.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here's what... That'd be fun. That'd be a funny skit. Here's what I'm saying. I think winning two straight games, you're getting as much of the young generation excited by that. Some people could say, we thought Jones was good, but man, last couple games, not so good. I'm not sure that Squareville isn't kind of equally on both sides here. I love the Giants. It's my favorite pick of the week. It would have been my pick. Probably my third or fourth favorite pick of the year. And here, let's forget direction. Let's think numbers. Without Barkley, without the guys, and there was one other guy coming back.
Evan Ingram.
Ingram. Without those two, what would the line be? What is the handicapper line? Meaning you want to split the result 50-50. What would you make the line?
I'm guessing probably, I think Evan Ingram's nice to have back. He's probably not worth a point to the spread, but I would guess Saquon is definitely worth a point. So I'm guessing -2.
But no, you're just reversing what the current market is. Saying if you didn't know what the market was, and I said Giants last week, let's say he played last week, right? Because that's the situation we were in. Giants, Arizona, meaning the injured players were out last week.
Okay.
What would you made the line
in
New York?
I would have made it -3, yeah, because I think these teams are about equally bad.
Exactly. So now you add Barkley. He's worth 1.5 in our numbers. I think you add the two up. It's certainly 1.5. We're getting pure value. This would be a coin flip at 3 without Barkley. They've got him. Barkley represents the value. That's more than enough.
What about the total? You see this being a high-scoring matchup?
I agree, but here's what I would do, actually. I would go with the Giants offense team total. I think the Giants are going to do exceptionally well against his Arizona defense. I also think, though, there's a heck of a chance that Arizona could do well. But I'm more sure, if you think of it as quadrants, right? Home team offense against opponent defense, and you can imagine the quadrants, right? Boom, 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 boom. Which one in your handicap of the Giants do you feel strongest about?
As far as...
You got an edge. That this is going to be Giants are going to dominate, or the Giants are going to get shut down. That would be an opinion. So there's going to be eight opinions, right? Yay or nay on the Giants' offense versus Arizona's defense. The Giants' defense against Arizona's offense. And in that regard, which one of those matchups do you feel strongest about? And when I say quadrants, it could be that you thought pro-pro on the offense. That's you're going to like the over. You could think con-con on the offense.
Right.
So if
I'm
you
pro,
think
pro.
About those check boxes, it tells you what your pick should be.
Yeah, I'm pro-pro on the offenses, but my first one is Giants versus Cardinals defense. Giants offense versus Cardinals defense. I think that's the strongest box.
So this is a great example of derivative betting. You could put half your bet on the Giants team total over and half your bet on the game over. And you've isolated the areas you like most with double betting on the Giants.
All right, it's scary because all three of us love that bet.
Yeah, well,
that was going to be my pick too.
Let's roll through the.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was Fred's best bet was Giants this week. So,
I love it.
Let's roll through Texans Colts next in rotation order. It's down to a one. And when it's a close matchup like this, and I think these teams are pretty evenly drawn out. I like the Colts coming off a bye. I think the Colts have a really strong edge in coaching. I mean, obviously the Texans have some momentum right now, but I think maybe they're being a little bit overvalued in the market based on what they've done the last 2 weeks against teams that can't pass rush. So people are like, oh, the offensive line, it's finally gelled. Well, first of all, their number one pick, Titus Howard, is out this week, and they've played against the 32nd and 25th ranked pass rush in the last 2 weeks. So, well, yeah, Deshaun didn't get sacked because those teams don't really sack anybody. I think in a close match, I like to lean with the coach that I think is better, and I think Frank Reich is a world ahead of Bill O'Brien. What do you think, RJ?
All right, so when you say that you think these are even, do you think they're even in that on a neutral field to be around Pick'em?
I think I would have them about Pick'em on a neutral, yeah. And honestly,
so you got to love the Colts.
I definitely
laying one at home.
I definitely like the Colts, especially considering.
Then why don't you love them?
Because the Colts coming off a bye, I'm not sure. I know the it's nice that they're getting healthy, but I do think there is something to the Texans have gotten into a rhythm. They've gotten into a little bit of a groove.
I don't see. To me, what's a definition of a flat spot? Like a flat spot in the NFL is saying that you've played some tough games, you've got some tough games coming up, and usually if you're looking to fade a team, it's because they won some tough games. This to me, even though it's in division, feels flatty for. That's a new word for Houston, the team, because to me, I just feel like this team won't do well with success. I think Watson will. I mean, from all I hear, and I'm only going by what Sweeney said about him. Character wise, and I'm not talking about is he looking at porn at night, but as a team leader, is he as good as Sweeney kind of let on?
I think so. I think he's one of the guys that it's hard to question him.
And that's wonderful. So maybe he's going to be able to help the team in that regard. But to me, it feels like a spot where there's more talk about Houston in the last week before the game, you know, meaning from the game onward, right? I'm not talking about before. There's more talk since they beat KC than any time in the last 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So to me, that's when I want to fade the team. And I agree with you that a coach who's less than excellent is the type of coach you especially want to fade. So this all fits to me. I really like the Colts. It's an old school handicap, right? You got the better coach off a bye. And he, you know, we looked into it the last couple years, even when he was a coordinator, they did, you know, offensively quite well after the bye when he was OC. And they got healthy. It all adds up. Now, you said something about the blocking. So name the guy you said that's hurt for Houston.
Titus Howard, their number one draft pick.
Okay, and he's been playing really well.
I don't know that he's necessarily been playing well, but the line in general as a whole has been playing well the last 2 weeks for the first time in 3 years.
Now, here's what's amazing, and you might have to eat some crow here. ESPN just came out with their advanced metrics on pass blocking, not run blocking. And they actually have their top 10 tackles, top 10 guards. And this is a play-by-play analysis, right? Next-gen stats level stuff. Third best tackle in football was Howard.
Oh, wow.
And look at it. Here's the other ones to see if it makes sense. McClinchy, I'm not a good player guy for the 49ers. Brown for the Raiders. Howard for the Texans, a crazy name for the Packers, Bacchieri or something, O'Neal for the Vikings, Dawkins for the Bills. The Cowboys have Collins and Smith, 7-8. So, I mean, this pretty much lines up in many ways, it seems like, with assumptions. So that's encouraging for Howard, but not for this game.
The other thing that I think that you've got to consider is in the history of this matchup, the Texans are 3-14 at Indianapolis. 3-14 ever. They've never even beat them by a touchdown or more. One of those wins is in overtime. So they've historically struggled at Indy.
So the question becomes, is that a sign that there's something fundamental, that they have trouble with the dome, or is that a sign that they just didn't have as good a team, and now that they do, they're going to play extra hard to exercise the demons?
I mean, they've had better teams than this. They couldn't go in there and get a win.
To be fair, a lot of those were Peyton Manning, too.
Yeah, but I think this is also this is their big rival, and for a long time, they struggled to get over that hump. They didn't get their first win until 2015. So they went the first 13 years of their existence unable to get a win at a division opponent's house.
So last question for me. If I had to say on a scale of 1 to 100, 100 is there's no chance they're not going to be motivated. 1 is, oh my gosh, they're so unmotivated. 50 being average. What is the motivation of Houston, do you think? Not conceptually, but what you're seeing from what you're reading, the press conferences, et cetera.
I would guess probably 60, 65.
So they're not. You don't seem extra flat, but maybe not as up as they should be for such a big game.
Well, I think that they looked at last week as a bigger game because the Chiefs are obviously they were respected basically across the board as one of the best teams in the NFL. So I think, I mean, relative to that, there's definitely got to be a little bit of a letdown here.
But it's almost like if you win this game, you almost not got the division locked up, but you are driver's seat.
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt. All right.
Moving down the line. Let's get to next in rotation order. Well, I don't know if I want to spend a lot of time on Dolphins Bills. I mean, I tend to think
I'll say one thing good is we did a study. We took all teams that won by 17 points or more, which it would take to cover or push this game. And we said, what was the total? Because this is a low total for such a high. It's 40 or so, 40 and a half. And what we said was, what we found out was that if the total's 40 and a half or less, the odds of a team winning by 17 or more goes down 40%.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an under game. So I have a hard time giving 17 with the Bills. The Bills haven't been this big of a favorite since I was a sophomore
92.
In high school. Yeah, or even younger than that, I guess. I was in like seventh grade. So it's Dolphins or nothing, but I tend to lean to the under in this thing.
Fred, is it true you were on your second wife in 92?
Second and a half by then, I think. Yeah.
I'm curious your thoughts on this Vikings-Lions matchup, because I know when we talked last week, you were talking about how the Lions-Packers line was so odd, and you think that there's something that Vegas knows about the Lions that we don't. And obviously, I think this number says they're getting a lot of respect again, because I think the Vikings are one of the better teams in the NFC. Yet the Lions only 1.5-point dogs. I guess some money's come in on the Vikings. But do you think that game last week with the Lions-Packers and it never moving off the number, do you think that was more of a reflection of the Lions or Packers now that we've got hindsight?
Great question. And I know for sure. And it was negative Packers, not pro-Lions.
Okay.
And we didn't know. We knew the line of 3.5 was funny. It implied the Lions were better than the Packers on a neutral because Green Bay has a 4-point home field amongst the best in the NFL with Seattle, with New Orleans. Well, how could that be? Who could think the Lions are better? Well, the biggest bettors did, but it wasn't because they liked the Lions. Because you look at this game, if anything, this line's showing the Vikings a lot of respect, I think. I mean, let's do the flip-a-rooney. Is 6 points to go to Minnesota, right? Yes. 3 to neutral, 3 to Minnesota. So we're looking at it being like 7, 7.5. Would you look at that as cheap?
No.
I mean, yeah, so that's the trick with the road team. Or road favorites. And it is interesting that Green Bay against the Vikings was 3, or I'm sorry, Green Bay against Detroit was 3.5 at home, and Minnesota would be 7, 7.5. That's implying Green Bay's 4 points worse than Minnesota. Okay, is this week the line's even crazier? Let's call it 5. It's 4.5, there's 5.5. Let's call it 5. 4 points for home field. Green Bay is 1 point better than the Raiders on a neutral. What the heck is going on? There are major forces at work betting against Green Bay, and the bookies know it. They don't even want the bets, because that's why you're not seeing the line drop. They got caught wind of it and got it out there early at a number. And I don't know if they're right. They're usually right. That's why we're scared. Everyone should be scared. They're betting millions sometimes on a game. And I think it's anti-Green Bay. And we'll talk about that game a little bit coming up, I guess. But it really tells you, if I could make a bet, like a season win total from here on Green Bay, as long as the number was fair, I'd make a monster bet on the under. Pessimism about the Packers from the betting market.
Does that mean that you lean with the Raiders this week? Or is it just something that you, because you don't understand it, you're staying away from?
No, but I think the line, I didn't like the lines last week. Meaning, if the line last week had been 6, 5.5, like it should have been, by all appearances it should have been, meaning before the game, I would have loved Detroit. But they took the value out of it. Here, if the Raiders were 7, Fezzik comes out, we put out the Associated Press lines. We are the exclusive, pregame.com, exclusive odd provider for Associated Press. We put out a world opener, really, Sunday afternoon. No one else has lines yet. Fezzik, we talk about it. He's the anchor. He had the opener this week, 7, against Oakland. If I asked you what you expected the line to be, what would you have said, guys?
I would have said probably about 6, 6.5.
6. So you think the Raiders are 2 points better than Green Bay?
I mean, 2 points worse.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, did anybody expect
the
Raiders?
You were high on the Raiders.
I mean, the Raiders have proven everybody wrong. What they do in London against the Bears, a game that nobody said they could win.
That's a Huey take, though. One game doesn't mean anything, right? What was the line in that game? 5.5 or 6, right?
Yeah.
So this is interesting. Chicago, Green Bay on a neutral. What do you got? Just gut feeling. Boom.
Probably Green Bay 2.
All right. So you think Green Bay is 2 points better than Chicago. Chicago's 5 points better, or it was perceived one game ago, 5 or 6 points better.
On a neutral.
The close was 6. So now you're saying then Green Bay would be 8 points better than the Raiders.
Well,
and thus the line should be 12.
And here's what I'll say about the Raiders. Their two losses are to the healthy Chiefs and at Minnesota.
Did you make a monster bet on the Raiders last week?
No.
In London?
No, I didn't. I wish I would have.
So all of this is being swung by one game.
Not just one game, but they won at Indianapolis. I mean,
But then that should have led you to bet the heck out of them in London.
Then at what point do you take good data points and say, okay, we can count these now?
You don't go from giving it hardly any consideration to full consideration. That's the trick. Whatever you had, but whatever you thought of the Raiders before, you can't move more than a point, 1.5 at most.
Okay.
If you are, then one of them was really wrong.
Well, here's a question based on the Packers-Lions result. If Jamal Williams runs that in and the Packers cover there, is the line this week different?
A half point maybe, but I don't even think it is because I think the syndicates are betting. They're way, this is a cat and mouse game. It's almost like if you're going to get served papers for court proceedings and they're waiting outside, what are you going to try to do? Jump out the back? Who knows, right? You're going to try to get away. Well, right now, the person serving the papers are the syndicates waiting for the bookies to pop their head out because they want to bet against the Packers. I don't think anything is going to get this Packers line up.
All right, we're going to skip Jags-Bengals because I don't think anybody cares about it. I like the early under. I don't know how that game opened at 47.5 based on what I've seen from those offenses. But we'll go to a game that I'm sure you're going to have a take on, Rams-Falcons. The Falcons are now getting 3. We'll call it 3. Rams are -3 at 0-5. What do you see in this game? And I'm curious if you've officially given up on the Falcons, because to me the Rams are a team that I don't think you can downgrade enough based on their last couple showings.
Okay, first off, I'm going to make a guess. I think this is one of Fred's best picks, and he likes the Rams.
And no, I'm actually on the other side of it. I hate the Rams offensive line.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I think they've got some real problems on that offensive line. And as bad as the Falcons defense is, I think they match up pretty well with the Rams offensive line. And I think that's kind of the key to the matchup for me.
That's interesting.
RJ, let me give you some quick O-line stats for the Rams that boggled my mind. We had these yesterday. The Rams O-line ranks 32nd in hurries allowed with 91. 31st is the Chargers with 60. Pressures, they're 32nd, 115 allowed. Chargers, 2nd, 89. Pass blocking efficiency, 32nd, 76.2. 31st is Miami with an 80. This offensive line is horrible. And what have we? The book on Goff has always been, if Goff has time, then Goff can be good. If Goff doesn't have time, which he hasn't had all year, Goff looks really bad. And I don't know if Ramsey plays, but the Falcons are going to get their points. That's the one thing I know about this game, because the Falcons get they're going to find points somewhere. Matt Ryan's probably going to lead the league in passing this year. I don't think the Falcons are good at all, but man, the Rams feel like they are just tumbling right there with the Falcons.
Yeah, I disagree. Okay. I like the Rams. Probably my third favorite pick. And here's why. And I'm going to look into those stats. But you know something? I harken back to, not that long ago. You liked the Rams over the 49ers,
I did.
Didn't you?
I did.
Hey, Jay?
I did.
How long ago was that?
That was a week ago. And yeah,
and all of a sudden now they're so bad. Lost one game.
Well, listen.
I think we're starting to see a leak in your game, buddy.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But I had to upgrade the 49ers based off that game.
Oh, for sure.
But
one point.
I hadn't upgraded the 49ers yet. And I obviously the Rams have to be downgraded at this point. And the Falcons, I don't know that I can bottom them out. But I do think the Rams are in a little bit of trouble here. Their offense, which has been their calling card, is suddenly just non-existent.
No, but that's the thing. And this is what's interesting. DVOA, Football Outsiders, has the second best defense since the 80s as the 49ers. By the way, Patriots, best defense since the 80s. So two best. This is amazing, but I don't think you overly critique Rams losing that game. I think the Rams are, if you had to power rate them, what are they? Eighth? Ninth best team? Seventh?
I don't know. At this point, I think they're probably around 10.
All right, so I'm interested when I'm talking next time or Fred's talking, I want you to list me the 9 teams better, because I think when you get up to 7 or 8, it's going to start sounding a little ridiculous.
Okay.
You're going to have to put like Dallas ahead of them. Do you think Dallas is ahead of them?
I don't know. I mean, we've seen that now the Rams have lost 3 straight, including a blowout loss to Tampa, who I have is pretty bad, and that loss was at home.
Tampa was a 3-point dog at New Orleans,
saying Tampa was better
than New Orleans. Huh?
Tampa with the Saints with a backup quarterback.
The team that's won 4 in a row.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that the marketplace was pretty high on Tampa. And if you notice, I think it's more how good Carolina. It's funny, I'm still high on Tampa. Not high, it's all relative, right? But to me, that Carolina loss seems to reinforce how bad Tampa is. But let's think about this. They beat the Rams, and let's say the Rams are 10th. Okay, that's a nice win on the road. Go into New Orleans and you're only a 3-point dog, and yeah, you lose by 7, underperform for sure. But with Winston, you just don't know what's going on, right? And I do think he's the big question mark. Then you go over to London and lose, and you think, see, they're bad. But Carolina is a team that went into Houston, what was it, 15, 16 days ago? 17?
Yeah.
And won the game. This great Houston team. And then somehow I'm especially mad because I had Houston laying the 4. And then I didn't overreact, though. And who do I have next week in our contest? Houston. Whenever you're ready to write a team off, it's probably the time to bat them.
Well, doesn't it? Because
that means everyone's
having
that feeling.
Do you don't think everyone's had that feeling with the Falcons?
I think there's one caveat to all this. If a team has given up, you just bet against them. And to me, we call it the dream crusher, as you know. Is the game after the dreams of the season have been crushed is the worst game for the team, because emotionally it's hard to get up. To me, I look at this and think losing on a missed extra point to Arizona put a fork in Quinn. And I think this week they're the walking dead. And I think the other side is the Rams got sent the biggest message any team has got sent this season. What was it? We're winning now. You don't give up a number one. That's what Houston did.
They did.
And what was the message? Tunzel, we're winning now. I think the Rams, after 3 losses, they found the perfect time to invigorate the team. I do think they're probably overrated by the public. I don't think they're overrated based on the current market value. I think people are down on the Rams, maybe rightfully so, but this is a high performance game. And let's not forget, other than the worst couple teams, every team can beat any other team. I mean, every team can, but it's not that. I mean, who's like the 25th, 26th team? The Steelers? Okay, Steelers can go in with a third-string quarterback and beat pretty much anyone. It's not going to happen all the time. Once out of 7, once out of 6. So, to me, if the Rams are way up and Atlanta's way down, that's so big, a couple points of line value, which I usually care about, don't matter as much.
Okay, guys, let me jump in because we have to take a quick break, but we'll have more with RJ Bell in just a moment. Right now, I have to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions, and they can do so many things for you. If you want something new, they've got you covered. Custom outdoor kitchens, patio covers, fire features. Hey, guys, it's cooled off. Now's the time to get all this set up. And hey, if you need to renovate, even better. They can renovate your fading pool deck, your patio, your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay. And the great thing about carved stone overlay is it gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less. It's very durable, 2 times stronger than concrete. And how about this? Tons of monthly payment options that even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. That's why people say so many great things about Allied Outdoor Solutions. They're an accredited member of the Better Business Bureau since 2009. They've even got an A-plus rating. You can't beat an A-plus rating. So stop by the Allied Outdoor Solutions showroom on I-10 in the Beltway today or check out the Carvestone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400, 713-465-0400.
All right, guys, got to tell you about TGS Insurance, and it's so simple, it's so fast, and man, can you save some money with TGS. And maybe you just had a close call with Imelda, and you're like, man, I really got to get some flood insurance. Okay, figure out what you're paying for your home insurance now, and then text MONEY to TGS at 232323. Text the word MONEY to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You reply back. They'll send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And man, you could start saving big dough. You might save enough that the flood insurance isn't even going to up your rates from what you're paying now. The average customer saving over $870. And if you're stuck with the other guys, you feel stuck, you're not. TGS will get you out of that old contract and in with them so you can start saving money today. One more time, text the word MONEY to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving big today with TGS Insurance.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and let's get right back to it with R.J. Bell.
All right, let's skip down to, we'll skip over Niners, Redskins. Let's get to
Red. By the way, I like the Reds. Or,
I like
by
the
way,
under
I like the
game.
Niners. And I hear you, but I'm talking now.
Okay.
I like... It's like you. How many hours a week do you do?
15.
And I'm on for a half hour.
Yeah.
And it's like I gotta. Hey, I like the total. Everybody. All right, AJ, you go first. What do you got, buddy?
I'm gonna defer to you. I don't want to step on your handicap.
I hope everybody knows that I'm teasing. I love AJ. I love Fred. Having some fun. I think the Shanahan's vendetta here. He has a vendetta. Is the whole difference. It's not so much running it up. I think he keeps the team focused, and I think the 9.5 is a good bet.
Well, we'll skip down to Ravens Seahawks, and
well, I got to hear about this total.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, first of all, I don't know who's starting it. I don't know who's going to start for the Redskins. I don't feel good about their offense right now. I don't feel any better about it after they fired Jay Gruden because I don't think Jay Gruden was improving that offense, but I don't think going to a run-heavy offense is going to do them any favors, especially against the 49ers right now. And I still think the 49ers, without Juszczyk, without some offensive line, I still think their offense is pretty – I don't want to call it limited, but it's definitely not the strength of their team. So I just think that this total stays pretty low.
I agree, except that there is – do you agree that what we've heard – from Shanahan, and Mike Lombardi said this, and Lombardi is connected. Of any media guy, he's the most connected, I think, right there. And he said Shanahan's got a real vendetta, and he's got a star on the back of the Redskins.
I could see that. Yeah, but I don't know if the Redskins score very much at all in this game. If they hold the Redskins to 10, I think it's an under for sure. Let's skip down to Ravens Seahawks. And I keep being wrong, but I keep saying the Seahawks voodoo has to run out at some point. They are one good player and 21 bad players, yet, and they've won 4 of their 5 games by a total of 8 points. I don't believe in them at all. But I keep they keep making me look stupid, and I guess I'll look stupid once again with the Ravens this week. And I took 3.5. Now it's hovering around 3 with some juice if you want the Seahawks, it's -3, -20. But what do you think of this matchup? Am I crazy to be considering the Seahawks so overvalued at this point?
No. In fact, I've probably caught the most heat this year on the various platforms about being so anti-Seattle. Because I just look at the game or their games. And I was on with Colin today, and he had this game, and he had the Ravens. Now, he took it at 3, and I said, I can't do it at 3. Fezzik likes Seattle at 3. So Colin liked the Ravens. At 3.5, I like the Ravens. At 3, I like Seattle. It's really that big of a half point. Remember, the most common margin of victory. But let's quickly look at Seattle's games. And to me, what I see is a team that almost got beat by the Bengals at home. Now, how bad does that look now?
Horrible.
Then they beat Pittsburgh. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No, I said horrible. It's not a good data point.
Yeah. In Pittsburgh, they won impressive, except that's a game Big Ben went down early. It's not only the absence of Big Ben and putting in a guy they didn't expect to play, Rudolph, but also the devastation. That's it. This might be the Big Ben's career. There was a pall over the stadium. And then you against the Saints, you lose a backup quarterback, okay? And then you go in and dominate Arizona. Let's give credit there. No doubt about it. Remember, though, Arizona runs. They're one of four teams that runs the Pete Carroll defense. Seattle, Arizona, Jacksonville, Chargers. Pete Carroll knows his defense better than anyone. That's a nice little edge there, but it doesn't change A1. Then on a Thursday night home game at one of the best venues in football for home field advantage, you should dominate. They win a nail biter because one of the best kickers in the league misses a 30-some yarder. Okay, congratulations. And then against the Browns, another, quite frankly, coin flip. So this team could literally be 1-4. And I hate them. I don't hate them. I hate them. And I don't like the Ravens either because I do believe this, and it sounds stupid. I believe that progressives politically love Lamar Jackson. And I love The Ringer. I think it's one of the better high IQ sites. You know, I used to write for Grantland, so I guess I have a little affinity for that crew, but it's more I just like the site. If you read what was written after the second week of the season, they said Lamar Jackson is among the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and anyone that doesn't think so doesn't know football. So among the best means top 8, even if you're being liberal. You know, no pun intended. Even if you're saying a bunch of them. Can anyone think that was possibly the case without being biased? It might be one day. It's not now. And to me, I think because of that, Baltimore's getting a lot of love they shouldn't be getting. Two overrated teams. I want to bet against whoever wins this game next week.
Let me throw one thing out about, at least for this week's game. I think getting Marcus Peters from the Rams is a big difference maker for that Baltimore team who stylistically, schematically, I guess, they love to blitz, and they've been unable to basically all season because Jimmy Smith got hurt week 1 and they don't have another true cover corner. Marcus Peters ranks – and I know last year Marcus Peters wasn't good. I think he was banged up all last year. But his first 3 seasons, he was great. This season, he ranks in the top 10 for Pro Football Focus on cornerbacks. I think that him and Jimmy Smith back at practice – if they get Jimmy Smith, I think it's a bonus. But I think having a cover cornerback there will allow the Ravens to gamble a little bit more defensively, which has been what they've wanted to do back since 2012 when Martindale took over as DC. That's their game plan is to blitz defensively, and they haven't been able to this year. I think that makes a big difference for this Ravens team this week.
Very savvy, very savvy. The only question I would say is, since Peters doesn't typically play man-to-man, he's more of a zone corner, then it takes longer to integrate. The theory is that that maybe the Rams are going to be able to add their new corner by saying, you go cover that guy, right? That's all you got to know. And with Peters, he's not a very good man-to-man guy, which I think once he's in the defense, he'll be fine because obviously Ravens knew that. So that's the concern this week.
All right, let's get to we'll skip down to Philly and the Cowboys, the game of the – well, I guess not the game of the week, but a game of two teams that – have maybe lost favor in the eyes of bettors between the Eagles and the Cowboys, who have kind of fallen apart in recent weeks. And the Eagles, obviously, is because of health. I don't know what to think about the Cowboys. The Eagles are getting a little bit healthier now. The number's down under a field goal now for the Cowboys, 2.5 at home, which tells me, man, the Cowboys, they've fallen way out of favor for it to drop down below that 3. What do you think of the matchup?
Well, first off, quantify for me how the Eagles are getting healthier.
What I was reading is the Eagles are getting healthier on their offensive line and supposedly going to have one of their corners back this week.
Okay, so I certainly didn't hear that about the corner. So let's accept There are some games you want to bet later based on injuries. I personally have swung in both directions this week, and now I'm sour on both teams. So I really do want to fade the winner next week. I've been one thinking that Philly might be like the third or fourth best team when they're healthy. And then when they went into Green Bay, it kind of proved it to me, because that was a big win on a Thursday on the road like that. Whew. You know something? I don't think so. Look at their games. They lost in Atlanta. You want to talk about a loss looking worse and worse.
Yeah.
And then what? And other than Green Bay, what's their second best win? Or what's their second best performance?
I'd have to pull up their schedule.
Yeah, I mean, if you go through it, there's nothing. And, I mean, just talking about, real quick, I'll rapid fire the games off, is Falcons game was – Redskins they beat. That looks even worse now the way that game went. Falcons, okay. Lions, they were at home, and they lost straight up. That can't be a good game. Packers, okay. Jets, give them credit. They played well, but come on, third-string quarterback. And now Vikings, they get dominated. So if you say against a starting quarterback, you're starting to move to the – it's all atrocious. Well, so I just think – now you might say it's injuries, but how much can the injuries matter? That much?
Well, I mean, they've been missing –
because you miss Roby?
They've been missing their two starting corners, Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby. And from what it looks like, Jalen Mills
– Darby, Roby, whatever his name is.
He says – Mills says
he's – that much.
He says, I'm in for Sunday. Well, when you start to talk about – you start stacking injuries in at one position group, it does start to mean more.
It does for the first week or two. And then you're getting in replacement level guys. You're picking people off of other practice squads, you know, and whatever the term is today. And I still say taxi squad, but that's a great name, isn't it? Why did they lose that name?
I don't
name?
Know. I think it's embarrassing.
But that's what – it's funny because we swung from being not politically correct, you know, where now we're politically correct. But now we're kind of getting a little edgy in some ways. It seems like that should come back. In fact, I'm going to make it a mission.
Okay. We'll start
do
using it here
then. Do you
think
I can do it within 2 years?
No.
Can I do it within 2 years?
I'll help you. We'll help you here, but I don't think it's going to work. All right.
RJ Bone Friends trying it.
Can I throw something in here on this? You talk about injuries. The Cowboys had both starting tackles out last week. They'll both be back this week. And two guys that were out on defense. So they're getting healthy, too.
I agree.
But still no wide receivers. Amari Cooper's probably going to be out. Michael Gallup's probably going to be out.
Randall Cobb is going to play.
Okay. So Randall Cobb's your number one guy. I don't know if they're taking advantage of that secondary.
And
you can't run on the Eagles. You can't run on the Eagles.
Killing this handicap.
Sorry,
you know
RJ.
Something? This is the best handicap I've heard this week. I'm serious. We just all touched on the thinness of the Cowboys receivers is a huge cluster injury issue. The question of, is Philly as bad as they seem, or was it the cluster injuries? Me thinking, you get the guys off the taxi squad. Yes, the taxi squad. After a couple weeks, they should be competent as replacement level. Not saying they're good, but they can't be that bad. And then you add in the offensive line for Dallas, and now I'll add one last piece. I believe that Jason Garrett has lost his team. And I know there's a bunch of media talk, but I'm saying that Chris Canty, who is on, he's an ESPN New York guy, but he's a former player. He said he was watching that game, and he saw where Garrett came out and was high-fiving and was getting team. And the defensive players who were having a good game kind of turned their back on him a little bit. It wasn't like, you know, F you. It was just like, we don't want to be involved. I really think that's a bad sign.
All right, that is the great RJ Bell from pregame.com at RJ in Vegas. You can follow him on Twitter. Appreciate you taking all this time today with us earlier in the day than usual. Have a good show with Straight Out of Vegas. I'm sure Fridays are you guys' favorite shows.
Yes. I was just going to say a compliment to you guys. I didn't want to end it. You know, I know you guys lead the book. I know other stations are in turmoil just trying to compete. I get it. But this segment, forget me, the fact that you guys know enough to do this segment, and it really, I mean, this is a professional handicapper that all I do is think about these things. You guys have many other responsibilities, and you're so good at it, and again, I know people appreciate that, because really knowing betting is effectively knowing the sport at a level you're willing to risk money on it, and you guys are. Kudos.
Appreciate the kind words. That is RJ Bell at RJ in Vegas, pregame.com. Check him out there. Check us all out there, in fact. And appreciate the time, RJ. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, I have to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers, and they are doing such a great thing for the community right now. They're doing the one-for-one bed donation, and this benefits the Houston Children's Charity. It's real simple. If you spend $500 or more, they're going to match by giving a mattress to a child in need. And there are so many children in our city that need a bed to sleep on. How about this? You're going to go in. You're going to get a great deal. You're going to save up to 50% off of what you would save at a retail place because you're buying it directly from the factory and they're selling it to you. You're going to sleep better and you're going to do a great thing by helping a kid get a bed. They've got a variety of bed styles to meet your budget and your body. Yuval and the gang over there are fantastic people to do business with. And there's just so many good reasons to go to Texas Mattress Makers. Visit them today. You can go to 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, or the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed and the best people. TexasMattressMakers.com.
I'm the bad guy. Duh.